Welcome to Podland. We're sponsored by Buzzsprout, the easiest way to host, promote, and track your podcast. They're at buzzsprout.com, and your first 90 days are free. It's the 3rd of June, 2021. I'm James Cridland, the editor of podnews.net here in Australia.
And I'm Sam Sethi, the editor of Sam Talks Technology here in the UK.
Podland's a weekly podcast where Sam and I delve deeper into the week's podcasting news.
Now, there's a story that I noticed this week, James. It was all about spacecasts. Have you heard of spacecasts?
In a vague way, yes, I've heard of spacecasts.
It seems that this week there is a thing about spacecasts, Apple channels, and Spotify lists. Everyone seems to be aggregating everything together. Now, spacecasts is a new collective of people who are trying to solve the problem of live audio monetization. It's a group primarily of tech-focused hosts who are launching a shared podcast feed that they'll round up as many social audio chats that they've started, plus guests, and they plan to run ads across the collected feed. What are your thoughts, James?
I think it's interesting. So this is 9 sets of people who've been doing a bunch of the chats on things like Clubhouse and on Twitter Spaces. Brian McCulloch from Tech Meme Ride Home and Chris Messina, who invented the hashtag. I'm sure he's famous for many more things, but he invented the hashtag. So what they're doing is they have, I think, appreciated that, firstly, there isn't really very good ways of monetizing Clubhouse and Twitter Spaces yet. But also that on-demand audio works for quite a lot of people. So they've launched this thing called Spacecasts, which is a podcast feed full of these chats, which is great. And they'll sell ads on the podcast and everybody will share in that money, which, you know, I think is quite a clever idea, to be honest.
Now, this feels very much like an alternative to Apple channels, because I've set up a channel on Apple Connect. It's not live yet. Any news of when they might be live, James?
They announced something at very end of last week. So it was a bank holiday weekend for you. It was a holiday weekend for people in the US. Here in Australia, we had to work. But Friday night, 5 o'clock in the evening in New York, Apple sent out an email to podcasters and said, oh, this whole paid for Apple podcast subscriptions thing and all of these channels and things that we promised in May, that's going to be in June now. So my guess is, with a few chats that I've had, that probably the middle of June. Don't expect it this week, but probably the middle of June is my guess.
Okay, and that will come with subscriptions, won't it?
It'll come with subscriptions. And to give Apple their due, which I thought I might as well every so often, I went to the Apple Podcasts Connect thing and signed up to have a Pod News channel. Got no idea what else I'm going to put in there apart from Pod News itself. But nevertheless, it's there and it worked and everything all worked very nicely and Apple were very good at taking my money. So that was good. All of that bit is working quite well. It'll be interesting to see what happens when it's actually turned on.
I'm putting 26 podcasts into my channel and it'll be a way that maybe we might monetize it later on. It won't be a monetization at the beginning. Hmm. But this spacecast seems to be a similar idea to that. Is that just because they don't want to use Apple, or is this Clubhouse plus Twitter? Because Twitter says it's working on a native recording function. It hasn't launched it yet, but it says it's going to be doing it. And Clubhouse says it's launching an in-app tipping service, which is helpful, but doesn't monetize the actual chat. So are they just trying to find a way of getting recorded Clubhouse and Twitter Spaces? Because if you don't record them, it seems like they're just thrown away and wasted. Yeah, but isn't Apple or Spotify a better way?
Well, I think that's exactly what they're doing, is that they are recording the Twitter Spaces and the Clubhouse chats, and they're monetizing them by sticking adverts on them and doing it that way. So making them freely available, but advertising funded. So that what they're not doing is they're not charging for access to them. And instead, they're using the thing that works for most people, which is ad-funded media. It's worked for TV and radio channels for a long time and will continue to. So I think it's a bright idea from them to actually realize that there are lots of people who would listen to some of those chats that can't because of time zones or because of they're busy working or doing something else. So I think it's quite a bright idea.
They have put it out as an Apple and Spotify podcast eventually. So they've aggregated it all as one feed and put it out as one podcast, which, again, I suppose doesn't really work in the new Apple world, where they could have just put them out as separate podcasts and then created one channel.
They could have done, but then of course Apple is only 40% of all podcast downloads. Nothing else supports channels, so therefore it's neither here nor there really. They could have launched 10 different podcast feeds, but you can't group them in any other service other than in Apple at the moment. Funnily enough, that's something that Podcasting 2.0 is working on, the idea of actually being able to group podcasts together in that way. So I think it's probably a realization that Apple isn't the center of the universe, which is a realization that quite a few people are yet to have, I think.
Spotify have announced a couple of new things today as well. They've announced Only You, which gives users personalized playlists, insights based on their habits, and this thing called Blend, which lets two friends merge tastes in a playlist. There you go. Just thought I'd let you know.
Thanks. Thanks for that. Yes, Blend, I thought that they were doing anyway, in terms of if you are in a Spotify premium account with your other half, for example, then you can have a listen to both of your favorite music, if you like. So I thought that they were doing that already, but clearly this new personalized feature called Blend allows people that aren't sharing the same plan. So it's just two friends can merge their musical tastes. So I can listen to all of the wonderful old-fashioned music that I listen to, and you can listen to Billie Eilish or whoever it is that you're listening to. So I think that works.
I think it's the bit that got me, was letting two friends merge taste. I wonder whether we should create a playlist, James, and see what comes off it.
That would be a terrifying idea. And anyway, I don't use Spotify for music anymore, so you would get the music that I was into 2 years ago, which is probably not so good.
What do you use?
I use YouTube Music.
Oh, okay. Now, you did write about some alternatives, though. If you don't want to use Apple and you don't want to use Spotify, you talked about a service called Mumbler. Tell me more.
So Mumbler is another one of these podcast subscription services. It allows any podcaster to create their own paid podcast in just three clicks, it says. The difference is that, firstly, the commission fees are 8% plus payment costs, i.e. not Apple's 30%, which is a handy thing. And the other main difference is that you get to see your subscriber details. And to be fair, the other difference is that it's more fiddly than Apple, or indeed more fiddly than Spotify. So you've got that sort of side of it as well. But Mumbler is interesting. It's a Spanish language service which has now got a proper English front end to it and looks pretty cool. There is also, you know, plenty of other companies like Supercast, Memberful, Substack allows you to do this sort of thing. Patreon allows you to do this sort of thing. So there's a bunch of different tools which allow you to sell a subscription. It's been interesting, the podcasts that I've been on recently where I've been a guest have all been talking about podcast subscriptions and are they going to be the future? And my view on it is, just take a look at television. That yes, you do have some people who are paying for Hulu or paying for HBO on cable or paying for Sky TV in the UK or Foxtel in Australia. Yes, absolutely, you've got some of that. But the predominant amount of consumption of TV is free-to-air. It's the free stuff that you get through your antenna or through basic cable. So that's probably what we're going to get in terms of podcasting. The vast majority is going to be freely consumed podcasts. And yes, there may be some paid for podcasts that are additional, but those are going to be relatively few and far between, I would have thought.
Moving on, friend of the show, Bradley Davis, the CEO of Podchaser, and also a new father, by the way. He's just launched a new API for Podchaser. What can you do with his API, James? What have you done?
You can do quite a few things. You can, of course, pull in things like reviews and ratings and cast members and that sort of thing. If you are running a podcast website, for example, or you are running a podcast app, what you can also do is you can log in through Podchaser and be able to add ratings and stuff from the comfort of your comfy app. And I believe that there is an app which is already launched with Podchaser's API, and I'm going to tell you, it's Podcast Guru. For example, you can log into Podchaser through that app and rate podcasts and episodes directly. And so all of this is essentially what I've been prodding Podchaser to do for some time, which is to make sure that they are the central place for ratings and reviews and syncing your listen history and all of that kind of stuff so that it isn't just in each individual app. So it's great to see that working.
Brilliant. Well done, Bradley. Must have been busy. Father and putting out an API.
He must have now, no sleep whatsoever. I mean, that's what's going on there.
Another friend of the show, a good friend who's been a co-host with me as well, Matt Deegan. He's got the British Podcast Awards coming out. It's powered by, strangely, Amazon Music, which I keep forgetting about Amazon. Now, tell me more about the British Podcast Awards.
So they announced their nominees last week, and it's a very big awards. It's a properly done awards. What I like about it is that it's got a proper judging panel who go away and listen to the podcasts first before judging on them, which is always a good thing. Not very many podcast awards actually do that. You'd be amazed to find out. So that's one sort of thing. But also they have a People's Choice Award, which is open, which has independent adjudicators and all that kind of stuff on it too. But it's a really nicely run award. And one of the things that I like about it is that a couple of years ago, prior to the pandemic, of course, one of the things that they did is they took all of the nominees of all of the awards that they had, and they got them into the award venue a little bit earlier and did a proper photo shoot with every single one of them so that they all had really nice, professionally done photographs, which is a lovely thing. And more people really ought to be doing that kind of thing, I think, in the future. So it's a really nicely run awards, and you can already vote now for the People's Choice Award, which is basically any award. If you want to vote for this podcast, then vote for this podcast. Just do a search for Podland. And Matt is a very busy man because not only is he working on the British Podcast Awards this week, he is also behind the Podcast Day 24, which is the Planet's Podcasting Conference, which is next Monday. I am hosting the Sydney leg, so I will be hosting for 8 hours. I'm also doing all of the tech for the slides and everything else for that. Imagine my life at the moment. And so that'll be fun. But anyway, it's a whole 24 hours. You can watch the whole thing on demand as well if you don't want to stay up for the 24 hours. You can go to podcastday24.com to buy your ticket. It's not too late. And if you want to, you can use code PNewsDay21. And that will save you some money. PNews, as in Pod News, but PNews Day 21.
I'll be going to the British Podcast Awards this year. It's in a field.
Yes, because it'll be COVID safe, won't it? Which is a lovely thing. It's just such a well-organised awards that I think more people could learn from and watch.
I loved the winner of last year's award. I don't know if you ever heard their podcast, Brown Girls Do It. It is actually hilariously laugh-out funny. I have to say, I had never heard of that podcast till they won the award. So I thought I'd just download it last year. Yes. And I have to say, the stories those girls told made me blush.
Yes, it's very rude. I was going to put the trailer for their podcast into a Pod News of on the day that they won. And then I had to listen to it. And then I thought, no, I can't do that. I'll get into trouble.
But it was very good if you want to listen to it.
Indeed.
Now, and hopefully when I'm there, I'll be able to interview people. So if you're there at the British Podcast Awards, please do come up and say hello. I'd love to interview some of you and see what you're up to. Now, James, a bit of trend analysis that I want you to give me some views on. You've written about how Anchor's hoovering up plenty of paid-for podcasts, but they also lost plenty too. That doesn't make sense. What's the scoop, James?
It doesn't make an awful lot of sense, does it? So I keep a big list, which is an automated list of shows that have changed podcast host. So you can see a bunch of shows which are leaving, for example, SoundCloud, and you can see through a Sankey diagram, it's a Sankey diagram, exactly where they're going. So a bunch of people leaving SoundCloud going to Omni Studio, and there are some going to Anchor, and there are some going to Megaphone, and so on and so forth. And quite a lot, of course, going to Buzzsprout as well, as you would expect. But what is interesting is, yes, tons of shows going to Anchor because Anchor is free, and you can see loads of shows leaving paid for podcast hosts and moving over to Anchor. Maybe that's because they're now dead and they just want to keep them on the internet, and that's a fine and good thing. But there's also a bunch of shows which are leaving Anchor and going to, guess what, paid for podcast hosts. So there's a bunch of the data, and it's updated every single day, so it'll have changed by the time you see this. But currently, for example, 11 shows last week skipped from Anchor over to Podbean. 2 shows went over to Wooshka. 6 shows left Anchor and went over to Buzzsprout. 5 shows left Anchor and went over to Omni Studio, and so on and so forth. I find all of this really interesting, just seeing how things are changing and who is in the ascendant and who is going down. There hasn't been a week when I haven't seen Libsyn losing a bunch of shows, and I wonder whether this is just that Libsyn hasn't updated their interface in a long time and people are realizing that there's more shows to end up going to. But there are a bunch of other podcast hosts in there who are doing pretty well in terms of grabbing shows. So it's always fascinating to have a look at this page, and completely automatically done as well, which is always nice.
So the podcast index data shows that Anchor plus Megaphone, which is also owned by Spotify, are hosting 1.6 million podcasts out of the 3.8 million podcasts available in their directory. That's 41.4% of all shows currently are on a Spotify platform.
That basically is the industry number, according to Podcast Index. Podcast Index, of course, includes shows that are in Apple as well as shows that are not in Apple, which is why it's 3.8 million and not Apple's 2.1. But it's just worthwhile clocking, I think, that more than 40%, more than 4 out of 10 of all podcasts out there are hosted by Spotify. That's getting close to being somewhere near, it's clearly not a monopoly, but it's clearly close to being a very large portion of the industry. So just one thing just to keep an eye on, I think.
Again, Apple, not the center of the universe.
Who'd have thought it?
Now, Spotify is also making more exclusive shows. They've signed up the Two Johnnies from Ireland. Have you heard that podcast yet?
I have not heard the Two Johnnies, but apparently it's incredibly popular and it's done some really good figures. It goes exclusive on Spotify from the 14th of June. James Cater, all the best people are called James. He's head of studios for Spotify UK and Ireland. He waxes lyrical out of the fact that there's so much great talent coming out of Ireland and the massive fans of Johnny and Johnny. And of course, the name of the show is presumably a little gag about the two Ronnies that used to be a popular comedy duo back when you and I were young.
It really was that long ago, wasn't it?
Fork Handles. It's interesting to see actually just the amount of talent which is coming out of Ireland. And because Ireland is so close to the UK and so much smaller in terms of people, it's something which is forgotten about, I think, by many people. And interesting to see that Spotify has jumped in and grabbed a very well-known Irish show as an exclusive from the middle of June.
I'll be looking forward to listening to that. Now, I just wanted to highlight some of the articles that you've been reading this week, James. One was from another friend of the show, Brian of London. He's been writing about why podcast apps and aggregators should be using Podping. Of course, last week we had the pleasure of interviewing all about it. But did you read the article yourself as well? What were your thoughts? Was there anything new that Brian revealed?
I did. I think it's really helpful to have a number of different people evangelizing all of the podcasting 2.0 stuff. So Brian was talking about the benefits of Podping, which is essentially making sure that as soon as someone publishes a episode of their show, then it automatically appears on any Podping-enabled podcast app. So as soon as I publish a new version of Pod News, there it is on your podcast app. It needs two separate lots of people to make it work. One lot of people to make it work is the podcast hosting companies. So Buzzsprout already support it because Buzzsprout very good at supporting all of this kind of new stuff. Captivate also support it, as do Transistor and RSS hosting as well. And of course, it also needs podcast apps to support it as well. And that's something that is growing, I think. But it's great to see people writing stuff about this and spreading the news. I think one of the worries that I have about podcasting 2.0 is that it's a group of people who aren't necessarily spreading the news as much as they could. So it's great to see Brian doing that. And also Alex Gates, who wrote a lot about podcasting 2.0, the podcast namespace as well, value for value and the benefit of that. And so any of that sort of stuff, evangelizing what podcasting 2.0 is all about, is a good thing, I think.
The one thing Dave Jones said from last week's podcast was the top 25 hosts pretty much do over 85% of the industry. Mm. And the fact that four or five have already turned to Podping now is very healthy. I think Dave Jones wrote he's already turned off the old way of RSS feeds being updated into the index from Buzzsprout, RSS, Captivate and Transistor.
Yeah.
Because they're already supporting Podping. If the others can join in, it might really make Apple or Spotify sit up. Who knows? You never know, James.
Well, indeed. And the other news around podcast index and podcasting 2.0 is that Buzzsprout, which is our sponsor, of course, Buzzsprout can now support any of the custom RSS channel tags. So if you are on Buzzsprout and you want to support some of the new podcasting 2.0 tags in the channel, not in the episode, then you can, as of today, which is really good. So Tom Rossi tweeting that. So it's good to see if you are really keen to make podcasting 2.0 work for you, then Buzzsprout is a good host for you to be on, which is nice.
Excellent. Now, how to make money with your podcast. Seems in South Africa, we should be moving there, James, they're about to hand out social tokens, SATRU, on the Celo blockchain. Okay, unwrap that one for me, James.
It's something that actually cryptocurrency is something which has really taken hold in Africa in a way that it hasn't necessarily taken hold in some parts of Europe or some parts of the US. So this is a social token. I think the social token itself is called ATRU. To be honest, not sure I understand all of it. But the idea is that it is a reward for African Tech Roundup's most engaged community members for contributing time and insight and support funds and all of that sort of thing. They are very excited about it. They're very keen about it. They were thrilled when I mentioned it in Pod News the other day. And when I said in the Pod News podcast that they've launched a social token on the Celo blockchain and then whispered, whatever that is, then they also notice that as well. They clearly know what it's all about. I'm sure you can find more information on the African Tech Roundup website. But I think, again, worthwhile keeping an eye on this sort of thing because these sorts of social tokens, and the Brave browser has a social token of its own, the Bat, these sorts of tokens are a useful way of rewarding people and an interesting way to actually keep this sort of engagement going.
So there's a really interesting site called Rally.io, R-A-L-L-Y.io, which has created a marketplace for producing tokens, basically. You've got Jason Calacanis, you've got...
Well, of course you do.
Reid Hoffman, many others up there. It's actually a place, if you wanted to, James, you could create the CRIDS, your own token. Yes, there you go. I can't wait.
Why don't we create a Podland, and we can give Podlands out to people who listen to Podland. Already it's going wrong, isn't it?
If you're into behavioral marketing, then tokens are a godsend because what they allow you to do is set goals for what you want your listeners or fans to achieve. And so it could be, as the example in Africa, if they are contributing time, so they're doing something for you, or they are sharing it around the community, then your biggest fans get given tokens. So it's behavioral marketing. Really, yeah. That's what the tokens are there for.
And I think one of the difficulties with all of these things is just actually explaining it in a really clear, simple way of what the whole thing actually means, because that's probably a good, useful thing to bear in mind.
Now, other ways of making money with your podcast, it seems Stripe's getting into the game. What are they up to, James?
So Stripe have launched this thing called a payment link. Basically, you can sell something without having to have a website for it. One of the problems about using Stripe, which is a way of accepting credit cards and stuff like that, is that you've, up until now, had to have a website. Now you can just basically give people a link, and that link will automatically send money through to people. So if we wanted to put a support the show for Podland, then we could do that. We could put a little link into our social media and stick it into our show notes and everything else.
Knowing you, James, that will be done by this afternoon.
How much should we be asking people for? Should we ask $3, $5?
Are we talking Aussie dollars or
American no, we're dollars? Talking real dollars.
Well, let's not be greedy. Let's start with three.
$3. Okay, there you go. There will be a link in the show notes if Sam remembers to put it in. If you want to support us or just basically give this a go, then you can buy us a half a cup of coffee if you like.
and we'll share it out between us.
With this particular link, and that would be a lovely thing. Excellent.
Now, James, let's end up with, what podcast are you listening to?
Oh, at the moment, I'm listening to CoronaCast, which is a really good podcast all about the coronavirus thing at the moment. I think it's just a nice, relaxing, non-sensational 10 minutes every day. Dr. Norman Swan, who is this reassuring Scottish voice, and Tegan Taylor, who's based here in Brisbane. And it's just a really good show all about the pandemic and all of that. I'm looking forward to meeting them in the flesh on Monday, assuming, of course, that they haven't found anything more important to do. So CoronaCast, I would heartily recommend it.
So, James, what else has been happening for you this week in Podland?
So, apart from Podcast Day 24, I'm also speaking at How to Start a Podcast Live, which is at the end of next week as we record this. It is on June the 10th to the 12th, and it's a virtual thing. If you would like to watch me talk about the opportunities of podcasting across the world, but also the latest podcast news, then go search for How to Start a Podcast Live. And if you use the code PODNEWS, you can get in for free.
Excellent. I never get anything. So if you're going to ask me what's going on in Podland this week, nothing. No one ever asked me to join. So I've never spoken at anything. That's
Yes. If there's anybody listening that wants to invite Sam onto their podcast, then please do. Then that's absolutely fine. And that's it for this week. You can come back to Podland next time. Please follow us in your podcast app, or we're at podland.news on the web.
Now, if you have any comments or questions, please tweet us at Podland News.
If you want daily news, you should get Pod News. The newsletter is free at podnews.net. The podcast is in your podcast app, and that's where you'll find the links for all of the stories we've mentioned this week. Our music is from Ignite Jingles. We use Riverside, the good folks at Riverside, for our remote recording, and we're hosted and sponsored by Buzzsprout.
Please tell your friends and colleagues about Podland. We'd love if they followed us. And we'll see you all next week in Podland.